Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. I'd like to welcome everybody to podcast with Elise Michaels. She is a trauma-informed men's coach who helps men find purpose and passion again by healing subconscious trauma. She has grown her following over 500,000 across all platforms and plans on changing the way men's mental health is viewed for men worldwide. Well, again, thank you for being on today's show. I know that this can be an old question, especially since you've done a lot of podcasts, but for the sake of my audience here today who may not know who you are and what you do, could you talk a little bit about how you decided to get into this field and especially focus on men?
Absolutely. So when I started my business, it was posting video content on LinkedIn. And I was just posting little blurbs about motivation and how to get over certain things, you know, using neuroscience. And my goal was actually to be a woman's spiritual coach, but only men were reaching out to me for help. And I was very awkward at the idea of thinking about coaching men. I was like, why are they coming to me? But then I decided, you know, in my mind, I was like, well, I know how to help people through pain. So why don't I just put this to the test? And once I started coaching those men who asked me for help, I saw that they didn't have a lot of support when it came to mental health. So I just decided to be that person, dive in and study the things that they were going through and be that person who spoke about it.
That's amazing. I know it's interesting how you said there's not a lot of resources for men. I do find that as well. I feel that in general, women are very more open to coaching and healing and maybe taking courses. So why do you think it was you that broke them to come? I don't say broke them, but like, you know, they decided to reach out and they were like, okay, this is a person I could open up to.
Yeah. From what my clients have told me, it's because I spoke directly to their problems. When they come to me, they say, I've been watching your videos for a long time. And it just felt like you were speaking exactly to what I was struggling with. And, you know, for me personally, I try to be as genuine and straightforward as possible. And I think that's something men really resonate with. And I don't feel like I have an energy that people are intimidated by necessarily, because I just try to be open, right? And openness is usually accepting.
Yes.
But for the most part, what they have said is because they resonate with the content.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you talked about part of the reason why you decided to get into this was some of your own mental health issues at the time. And you decided you were working on yourself and then thought that you would be a good resource to help people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I had dealt with a really dysfunctional family growing up, but I didn't realize it until I got older and things just weren't working out the way that I had wanted. And I tried for a long time to solve my own problems to dead ends, right? And this is what I call the subconscious trauma, the trauma that we don't understand we have. And so if we can't see it, we can't solve it. And so I got a therapist, and the therapist was amazing, but still didn't give me like action items to solve the issues, didn't necessarily tell me what was going on and why I was repeating the cycles, what cycles there even were. So that's when I started diving into my own courses on neuroscience and cognitive behavioral therapy and trauma therapy. And once I understood how the brain works and absorbs and takes things in from childhood, I found that there's a true pattern that you can actually course correct on. And you And it's actually very logical to heal from trauma. It doesn't just have to be this ethereal thing that maybe one day will happen for you.
Yeah. I mean, make a really good point. I've also done some deep work when I would say about like 15, 16 years ago, I started taking like some personal development, some leadership, and I had therapy before, like 2 years of solid therapy, but taking this course, recognizing, oh my God, there was this pivotal moment, and it was so simple that I understood why my parents were the way they were, or why it was so human. And I don't know where I missed that in therapy, but it was maybe in a different context. And at that moment, I learned to literally forgive this. And it was such a huge moment for me. And so I can understand there is such a healing in the simplicity of certain things.
Yes. Yes. And you totally nailed it. And the way that I describe therapy versus coaching to a lot of my clients is therapy is very non-directive, supportive environment with someone who, you know, has the credentials and the tools to help you just get your thoughts out and kind of self-reflect, but they're not going to necessarily give you action items. They're not going to necessarily go over the science with you. And there's just a lot of rules and regulations around that for them, right? They don't want to like misguide you or diagnose you unnecessarily. So, but I find that when you can actually put action to what you're going through, it makes you feel empowered, and it actually helps you understand things more holistically. And the only way to get over trauma is to work through it, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't work through it if we don't know what we're working through.
Right. And I think men especially relate to actionable items. They're very like, okay, I want to get from A to B. How do I get there? As a woman, we'd be like, okay, let's go from A, but we can go this way, and then we can go this way, and then we'll, you know, they're very linear, and we're not. So I feel that it's a much more simple technique for them, right? I don't know. That's just stuff that I've learned throughout the years.
They can compartmentalize, like they put things in boxes in their brains. And so if they can understand a concept and a process, they can work through it so quickly and so fast. But it's when, you know, and I don't know the true statistics on this, but a lot of therapists are women. And so it's like when women are coaching men or doing therapy with men, it's kind of like they're explaining it in a way that a man doesn't necessarily understand when he thinks about things, right? And just women in general, we're more open, we're more talkative. We talk about things, and men don't necessarily want to talk about things all the time. They do sometimes, but they really want to, at the end of the day, do something about it. And that's what, you know, that's what I needed from therapy too, because I was like, okay, I'm talked out, but now what? Like, I can't keep doing this over and over again. Like, and something needs to change.
Yes. I need to do something to make this happen. It looks like you have a ton of certificates. That is like, I was reading your on your website. I was like, oh my God, that's really impressive. I mean, I've only had on top of my college degree, like 3 different certifications, which has nothing to do with my degree in school, but that's impressive. So you're so versed in like all of these amazing subjects. So I feel that these guys, you know, oh my God, she can definitely help me. She can help me through something. She's educated in that, or she, who knows, like, I don't know how personal you get with your clients, but I'm sure you have some kind of story that you can connect with that person. It's really impressive. So I like that you explain the difference between a therapist and a coach, because that's so unique, because I'm sure you've had people that come to you and you're like, oh no, I think we're not at that coaching point. What is it where you would actually turn someone away and say, maybe you need a therapist?
Right. The clients that usually aren't a good fit are the ones struggling with deep depression, where they need, you know, maybe really constant support in that area. They are dealing with mental health issues such as bipolar, or, you know, they need a diagnosis of some sort.
Okay.
If I do work with any clients like that, usually they have a therapist already they're working with. And then they're like, okay, I need something more. Like, I'm already gone through treatment with this, or I've done it before and I kind of know how it goes, and I need something more. Okay. But as a first time, person who is really struggling with, you know, deep depression and suicidal thoughts, those are the clients that are not a good fit.
Okay. But you can work in correlation with someone working with a therapist. That's probably, it's probably more beneficial too. I don't know.
It's like a tag team, you know?
Right? Let's make this happen. So guys that come to see you, you say that you help people, or men, excuse me, find their purpose and passion again. So that's a huge goal, right? And I'm sure, like you said, you break it down, but why do you find that men in particular are not sure what their purpose is or their passion is?
Well, the men who come to me and they mm-hmm. have a desire to find their purpose and passion again, it's like a loss of a sense of self. And so finding that purpose and passion again, isn't like a 1, 2, 3 step go. Okay. I have my mission now and I know exactly the career I'm going to do. And I know how much money I'm going to make from it. It's mm-hmm. more of taking away all the layers of what we've added on that are so ingenuine, inauthentic, the mask that we've put on to impress people or, you know, cover up pain. It's taking that off and being really okay with who we are mm-hmm. and allowing that purpose to blossom and really, you know, coming back to the authentic self. Mm-hmm. And then that man has the tools and skill set to weave as his purpose changes and feel still confident and still okay with where he's at.
Yeah. I mean, you just said something so poignant. I'm such a fan of really being your authentic self, but I don't think people even know who their authentic self is or how to find that out.
Exactly. 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 That's what a lot of men come to me for, is like, I don't know who I am anymore. And a lot of us, like you said, it's like a man and a woman issue, because we mm-hmm. grow up just creating our identity around what social acceptance is from our parents, from our mm-hmm. friends, from school. You know, 18 years of your life is like elementary, middle, and high school. Just, you don't control any of that. And you have to adapt if you want to fit in. And then, so you have to spend the next 10 years of your life unlearning and relearning, depending on how ingrained you are in that society, because we also have things like religious trauma and, you know, like depending on like where you grow up, like there's so many different factors that go into it. The number one factor for change is like, where is your mindset at mm-hmm. and how accepting are you? How willing are you to let go of the identities that you've created when you couldn't control what your identity was?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's huge. That's like a realization. I don't know. I mean, I think that what you do is huge and amazing. And I feel that there's just so many men out there that, like you said, are not comfortable with opening up and being vulnerable and being not okay with who they are, because that's not what society says. Like, they should know, they should be sure, they should be, you know, like you said, they should have this, this, and this. And then they come to the realization, well, that's not me. That's not who I am.
Exactly. Well, and I think as a society, this is something I've really started to come to realize. As a society, we build up, everybody, especially in capitalism, that you should have a purpose, a passion, a goal, and that's what you should focus on. That's what you should work towards. But our human biological need and instinct is to have a family, is to be in love, is to be with someone, because isolation is the worst punishment a human can get. That's what they put you in, solitary confinement in jail, right? Mm-hmm. So we get to this point where we're driven by capitalism and we're driven by goals and purpose, but then we're alone and we're so unhappy because we've created an isolation for ourselves. And then we try to find a partner within that dynamic. And so it's kind of like, it feels almost like we've all been tricked, because we think that the reason we're doing all this stuff is so that we can have the success from the purpose and passion, but it's actually driven to find a partner. But since that's not connected, it's something that really like disengages us from ourselves.
Oh yeah. I mean, the two main clients that come to me are the men, like you just described, who are married to their work. And then they're mm-hmm. like, oh shoot, I'm in my 40s and I think that I need to find a spouse or partner, a wife. And, or it's the divorcee who's had these, you know, probably hasn't ever dealt with subconscious trauma and has brought all of this into this relationship, right? I'm not blaming all mm-hmm. the men, but you know, it's two people, it's two issues, but it's like, they don't want to repeat that. They want a successful relationship. And so Could you give us just a few tools that maybe you, or you can even be generic, or some of the things that help your clients take actionable steps for this healing?
Yeah. So usually if you're a man who's caught up in a situation where you don't know yourself anymore, or you feel like you've done everything for everyone else and kind of just are the yes man or happy wife, happy life type of, let's go with that, right? Action okay. items for you is needing to take time for yourself every day and learn how to prioritize yourself again. Not that you say no to everybody else's needs, but understanding how to say no sometimes, like when you actually need time, right? You don't just squeeze yourself into the day. You make time for yourself as a priority and let the other things go around you, right? Because that gives you self-confidence back. It helps teach you how to set boundaries again. Mm-hmm. And it also makes you realize that if you say no to someone, no one is going to die. They're going to either figure it out yes. or, you know, they can wait 30 minutes. Like, you're not going to lose all of your money. You're not going to lose your spouse or your wife. Like, and they will respect you more because you're finally starting to stand up for yourself, stand mm-hmm. on your own 2 feet. So there's a lot of power in just learning how to prioritize yourself during the day.
Yeah. No, that's an amazing point. I mean, I think that in a relationship, especially if you're in a marriage, you can lose yourself so easily. Like you said, to the job, to the wife, to the children, and you can really, who am I? Like, yes, I'm this yes person. Okay, well, let me figure that out. And it is like you're saying, it is okay. And it is healthy for someone to say, no, you know what? I need this 30 minutes for myself to do mm-hmm. X, Y, Z for myself mm-hmm. so that I'm a more healthy person in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, men and women both need to do it. But usually this is a thing too. I know you said earlier, we're not like blaming the men for bringing the trauma into the marriage.
Right.
But if there's one dysfunctional partner, the other partner is also dysfunctional as a perfect match that partner. So there is never any just one person doing it wrong in the relationship, because even if you have like an alcoholic spouse and you're doing everything you can to support them, some part of you is enabling it if it's continuing on and on and on, right? And that's something we don't want to look at. We don't want to look at how we're contributing to the worst parts of our partner continuing to thrive.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say that. That's pretty great that, yeah, there's such, in thinking you're helping somebody, but you're really enabling them. And that's just causing to repeat the situation over and over. And then at some point, someone is just like, okay, I've had enough, right? This mm-hmm. is not working. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, it's nobody wants to blame the other person. You have to kind of introspectively look at yourself and say, well, what is it that I did for this relationship to end? Okay. And how do I fix this going forward so that I don't repeat this.
Right. And not even just what did I do to make this relationship end? It's what was I attracted to in this relationship in the first place? What did it validate for me? How did it make me feel? Mm-hmm. Do I have, in the male's perspective, do I have a hero complex? Did it feel good to be the knight in shining armor? For seeking external validation, then it's going to continue to be a relationship that's unfulfilling internally. And you're always going to need something chaotic to happen so you can solve it or fix it. But eventually that breaks because you get burnt out.
Yeah. I have this client, and him and his wife are very fitting for each other, right? You know, she loves to be pampered and he loves to do. And it's, he definitely enables her in certain things. And I feel like it's just really unhealthy, but you know, so what's the difference between like subconscious trauma and knowing trauma? Are you saying that the difference is like subconscious is like something you don't know why you're doing what you're doing? Is that right? Or
yes,
can you define it a little better?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, some people know that they've had traumatic incidents in their lives or that could potentially be traumatic, right? Like maybe they had an alcoholic parent or suffered abuse, you know, okay. And they're like, okay, yeah, I know that happened in my life, right? Mm-hmm. But what they don't know is the survival patterns that their child brain created in order to survive in that environment, right? So even if your parents weren't abusive and you feel like you had a good childhood, you know, when we're born into the world, we don't come with a guide, right? We mm-hmm. learn it by observing our caregivers and the environment around us. And we say, How do I gain love, validation, success? And your brain takes all of that in like a template. And it's so efficient that it never goes back and says, hey, maybe we could reevaluate this and make it better. It just goes, oh, this is how I do this. Okay, let's keep running with it. And you don't ever look at it until the template no longer works, right? Which is usually in adulthood. So through your whole childhood life, you were doing things a certain way and it worked out for you. Then you get into adulthood around different people. But we're trying to apply these templates to these different people. And we're like, wait a minute, it's not working. Right. And this is how we get stuck in these cycles where we date someone who cheated on us in high school, or our parents were like highly abusive. And then we date someone and we kind of project that they're going to be like that because that's the only template we know.
Yeah. There's a lot of transference happening, right? With a situation that may be, yes, like you said, an alcoholic parent, and then you have a reaction in a certain way in that relationship when maybe he has a drink or she has a drink or something, right? And then, oh my God, that's not a healthy way to react. So yeah, that's I know that, like, and I think there's also this thing around trauma, right? Okay, traumatic experience is only like, oh, okay, I was beaten, I was abused, I was neglected. But from what I understand, there's much smaller traumatic experiences that we go through in life that shape us, that we are unknowing. Oh, I didn't have any trauma. I had a very healthy childhood. But that's not necessarily always true. It doesn't have to be a huge trauma to be you know, to have that experience on us.
Right. Because the definition of trauma is the psychological impact of an event, not the event itself. And so I think trauma has been one of those words that just got blown up on the internet. So it's kind of frowned upon because it became a fad, right? It was like, oh, I've experienced trauma. Now everybody's traumatized, which in a way, everybody really is traumatized, but it makes it feel like we are not able to endure when we kind of have this aura around it. So a lot of people don't like to say that they've experienced trauma because then they feel like the victim. When really all it is like, okay, everybody has experienced trauma. Let's figure out the patterns that are still within you that you use to get through, you know, childhood, right? Like we can break it down to make it feel sciencey and logical and give you your power back, as opposed to just saying, this happened to me. This is the way it is. This is why I'm like this. I mean, I know I'm getting like into that zone, right? But like, that's not how you grow up and live. Like a lot of people say, I have this attachment style, or this is my star sign, right? Like, and so they find a label and they attach themselves to it and then they refuse to change. And they just blame it on the label or blame it on their childhood. But you have a responsibility to take care of yourself as an adult so you can be healthy for yourself and those around you.
Right. Otherwise, having a relationship is never going to happen. I mean, you have to love yourself. Yeah, exactly. Right. You're going to always have, there's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be something wrong. Right. And especially if you're in a victim mentality or I'm just this way, then that's your excuse. So yeah, I think as adults, we're responsible for learning new coping skills because I don't believe that. I know my parents were very young parents, so they only knew what they knew and brought that to raising children. And so that, of course, rolls and rolls and rolls if nobody's working on themselves. And I think today there's so many resources and so many tools that there's no excuse. I mean, that's just, you know, my opinion.
There is no excuse because we live in the internet age. And like, even my coaching is like, you have to pay for my time, but I have resources on Instagram, LinkedIn, my website, like through emails, right? There's so many YouTube videos. There's tons of platforms. Like people, if you want to find a solution, you'll find a solution. And if you want to find an excuse, you'll find an excuse.
Yeah. And it's just teaching people to be a little bit more open and honest and authentic. And that I believe if we're authentic, that we're going to attract much more of what we want in life, right? I feel, you know, if you're putting on this front and you're being how everybody wants you to be, it's just like this cycle of like, you know, and then eventually you're not happy. So you're going to need the coaching and therapy.
Right. Well, you need someone to see the things that you can't see also.
True. Yeah. So I feel like, so how, once you work with your clients, do you find that they're more, like you said, they're more empowered, you have more tools, they have more tools, that they're able to navigate the dating world much more effectively and, you know, in the way that makes sense to them?
Right. Well, they're able to navigate just the world in general much mm-hmm. more.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't solve all of your problems, right? But you're able to have the tools to solve problems that come forward, because there's always stuff that comes up later on. It's not like you absolve yourself of pain or absolve yourself of, you know, you've learned all the lessons and then you're healed from trauma. Your growth will be a continuous journey if you remain open to it, because mm-hmm. there will always be new things highlighted within you that you're like, oh, I didn't know this was there. But at least you will know that there are things there you don't know about, mm-hmm. and you will have the tools to solve them moving forward. It's not like you have to develop a codependence on someone to always tell you how it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Cause I think that that can also happen, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, wait, I need Elise for everything right. that's going on in my life. And you're like, okay, that's great. But I want you to grow up and be a man. And like, here, we worked on this and now here you go. Here's the tools. So what is tech? What is the time frame? Is it everybody is different depending on how much they want to grow, or what are your some of the time tools that you feel that really resonate with your clients?
Yeah, so my coaching program is actually like very rapid. It's a 3-month program, 13 okay. sessions, one session each week with mm-hmm. unlimited WhatsApp support in between. So that is like what I found is a sweet spot for getting a lot of tools nailed down, creating a good foundation for the future. Mm-hmm. And then obviously there's continuing education after that, if you want it, if you want to continue support, if you want to grow beyond that. But this is like the container that I found most helpful to mm-hmm. have impactful lessons to understand how to heal the trauma.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. And I feel that with men especially, like, I don't know, this is my experience that like 3 to 6 months, 6 months is somebody that's just like really, really needs that extra, like, mm-hmm. you know, extra time. But yeah, 3 months is a really great spot, especially because mm-hmm. they want to work on themselves, but they don't want to take a year. It's not like right. in their, it's just not in their whole makeup, I don't think.
Right. And it can be also overwhelming for anybody to think about, oh my God, like I'm going to have to commit to this for a year. It's just like a lot. So 3 months is like a good first time you meet someone, it's long enough where it's like, okay, 3 months every week with someone, like I can do that. It's short enough. Yeah. And then you get to know the person and you're like, okay, do I want to just continue working with this person because they help me see things? Or do I want to like go off on my own for a little while and then come back? And you have, it's just, it's worked out for me well.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. What do you think that I feel that men have such a difficult time finding themselves in today's society based on women's success, right? This is this whole, there's this, I want to say confusion, if you will, on the roles, right? Mm-hmm. What do you, I mean, do you help men find their masculinity back, or is it they're not lacking it? They just don't know how to assert it today? Or what are you finding with some people that you've dealt with?
Yeah, so this is an excellent question. I guess reconnecting with your masculinity is absolutely something that we do in coaching. And it also just comes naturally mm-hmm. from regaining the confidence and boundaries back. Lack of a man's masculinity comes from ignoring his authentic self, not standing in his power, not saying no, not prioritizing himself, mm-hmm. not setting the boundaries, because he's just no longer confident. He no longer has respect for himself. And, you know, he becomes a doormat, essentially. Mm. He becomes the quote unquote nice guy. If anyone listening has read No More Mr. Nice Guy, you'll understand what I mean by that. And women have had now their kind of awakening. They had a huge advocacy for many, many years now, but it's kind of gone to the extreme part where it's saying we don't need men at all and we can do all this. But like feminism wasn't meant to say we don't need men. Like you need men biologically, mentally, emotionally, because that's how we've, you know, always done it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the feminine has kind of taken on so much confidence and so much like energy that it kind of pushes the masculine into the feminine role. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you that there's like, there is a lot of confusion about like, what role do I play? Because there's like, no women out there want like the traditional roles, or whatever you want from your marriage is whatever you want, or your partnership. But what I bring men back to is like, don't focus on what you don't want or thinking it's impossible, because there are women out there who want traditional roles. There are people who are like, yo, this is too much for me right now. Like, even me, like I've operated in my masculine for so long, and I'm really coming to the point where I'm like, I just really don't want to do that anymore. Like, I love having my own business. I love having my own job, but I don't want to like have to fight the world anymore. Like, I would love to just chill for a second and be with someone I love and have them take control, you know? So it's like, not everybody wants that. So you just have to really focus on being your own man so that you can attract that woman that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. Just example for myself too. It's like, I've been a single mom from day one. I have my own business. I have, you know, it's like, I have been in my masculine for my daughter 16 years, and it's exhausting. Like, I love who I am, but at the end of the day, like you said, you just want to relinquish some of that and just allow yourself to be that feminine energy. And it can be really challenging and tiring. Not to say that I don't want to have that mental stimulation. You don't want to have, you know, the things that make us thrive and passions. But yeah, and I think more men want to have that masculinity as well. And it needs to be a little bit more defined. But yeah, you're right. I believe that if the man has and is comfortable with his masculinity, he'll attract the right person.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is the hard part for women like us, right? I'm not a single mom, but you know, operating out of the masculine is like, you love the power of having your own job and having work. And I don't think that going back to traditional roles, quote unquote, is the way, where women didn't have jobs and they just stayed at home and cooked and whatever. But I think that we need to move forward in a way that incorporates tradition with the new age, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we do both work, but maybe the man does still provide, but maybe you guys work enough where you have a nanny and then you're not so stressed about like doing, you know, like all of the stuff, right? That like, we need to figure out a way where both worlds can collide so that you can figure out how to relax so that the masculine man can be attracted to you.
Yeah.
Right. Cause there can't be two men, quote unquote, in a relationship and two women in a relationship, not in a gay sense,
Does
but in an
work.
Energetic sense.
Exactly.
You always see a pairing where there's an energy of a man and an energy of a woman. And I don't want to like start any fires.
No,
but that's really how it is.
No, it's the masculinity and the femininity. It's not a sex thing. Yeah. I totally understand. And you can have that, you know, so you can do the dance and everything works well. Too masculine is competitive, that never works. And too feminine is nothing is getting done.
So, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And I think that really working on yourself, men, are you listening? You know, really getting clear with who you are, what you want, that yes, then you will attract the right person, and healing, because that's something before you even get into the dating world. I really think that the healing process. So I think that would be my last question is like, how would you know when you're ready to date, right? So I don't feel like you have to be completely finished with a program to start dating, but it's like, okay, where there's that sweet spot where you've worked on yourself enough. What would you say that is?
I think that there are some just guidelines that you can use, because you'll never be fully healed. Even when you go into a relationship, people are like, oh, you got to love yourself before you enter a relationship. And like, it's just so weird. There's no guidelines that come with that. Like, what do you mean I got to love myself? Like, you don't have to be a perfect person before you get in a relationship, because the second you get into a relationship, you're going to feel like your world is falling apart because this person is reflecting back to you situations that are real, not made up fantasy in your head about what a perfect relationship will look like, because they're a human and they're making their own decisions. Right. So I would say, if you're on a healing journey and you want to go back into relationship, have things for yourself that you know, like know your core values, know your love languages, know how to set boundaries, and just know what you're looking for, right? And know how to self-regulate. I could like make a list of these things, but But if that's you awesome. Have those foundational things, right, if you know what yeah. you're looking for and you're firm on your boundaries, then you will not choose a person who's iffy about what you want, who fits some of the criteria, but not the rest. And you're just kind of dating them to see if they change. You're going to be very firm on, okay, I want a relationship. This person says they just want a casual fling. I'm not going to give them a chance because it doesn't fit. It just doesn't right. make sense. Right. You have to be firm on that. And then if you can talk through things and know things about yourself, then you can navigate that relationship and start to understand. Right. And that'll teach you more things about yourself. And then you go into the next one and that'll teach you more things about yourself. Right. But
yeah.
The key is like not staying longer than the relationship has expired and having the ability to be able to do that.
Okay. And being okay with that, right? I think so right. many people are so scared of hurting the other person. Oh, if I say I went on a date and the attraction maybe is not there, right? Mm-hmm. Don't waste people's time. Just be firm with what you want. I mean, you don't have to be an asshole, but be firm with who you are and don't right. waste time. Well,
and I have a perfect example of this is like, I had a client who he really liked this girl that he was dating. And then he had another girl who was very interested in him and she was very successful. And, you know, he was very impressed by her and he really quite liked her, but his heart was with this other woman. And he was afraid to tell her because he was like, you know, part of you is like, I don't want to ruin a potential chance and I don't want to hurt someone. Right. Cause like, she's really into me. And I said, you know, you just have to be honest about how you're feeling about it. And people respect people who tell them the truth and don't waste their time. And then he did. And she was super happy that he was honest. And she said, hey, if something doesn't work out, like I'm here, like I respect your wishes. And then it moved on, right? Like that yeah. we can still be friends. And that is like, you know, people really respect people who are honest in themselves.
True.
They really do. And if they yeah. don't, that is an emotional thing on their end, mm-hmm. right? Like, and you don't want to be with that anyway.
Exactly. Well, I love that. Okay. So just to get to know you a little bit better, what was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
Ooh, one of my favorite dates. I like dating. I don't know that I've been on too many dates, to be honest, outside of relationship that were my favorite. So my favorite dates, I would say, have to be in relationship because it's more about, I think, the connection you have with the person. So one of my favorite dates was in Vegas. Mm. We were supposed to go to dinner at like some steakhouse or something, but it was so packed. So we ended up going to a side part, which was like a sushi fusion place. Like we had no idea like what was going on in there. We ordered like the chef's menu and ended up having like 13 courses and like a lobster tail and like, it, I don't know. It was a really fun, unexpected, surprising thing. And we were just laughing the whole time. And that's really like, it's not about necessarily the date as much as it is like the person that you're with, mm-hmm. right? Just being able to be sporadic or go with the flow and know that whatever you're doing with, because in the same breath with that same person, also just driving around one day, listening to like Backstreet Boys and stuff, like jamming out, like different day. And it was kind of like a date day. Like we didn't really do anything. We just got coffee from like Dunkin' Donuts because that's what I wanted. And like, it's like you go from like $1,000 date to like, you know, a $10 date. And
yeah.
it doesn't matter if you're with the right person.
Well, it sounds like the connection and the adventure too, and just being able to right. do stuff together and create those memories.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I
what
love
about
it.
You? I want to hear one from you.
Oh my God.
It's hard to be put on the spot.
Right. I was like, ooh, no one's asking this question. Like I said, I've had really like very elaborate dates and I've had very fun, just intimate dates. Yeah. I would say mine is just more of like doing some type of an adventure. Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's been a minute. Oh my God. Okay. I will get back to that. I'm just starting to newly date again after so long.
Okay.
Because
how are you finding the dating now versus before? Because you were single for I don't know if you were single that whole time, but like you think about 15 years later. So what is the dating pool like now for you versus then?
Well, dating pool is definitely, like I said, the unclear roles that men play. And I've learned recently, or in the last, I would say, year, to step out of my masculinity and become feminine again. So this has been, as much as I've been teaching, I also learn a lot. And I think it's just an amazing field to be in. So yeah, it's really finding the clarity of what I'm looking for, because I didn't know for so long, right? I dated a few, but nothing really serious. And so, yeah, it's finding that, like, okay, this is who I am and this is what I want.
Okay. How do you feel like you've been stepping out of your masculinity? Like, what is it like to step into your feminine? What does that look like?
So it looks like leaving all of this at home when I walk out the door and coming into who Celeste is. And, you know, I feel that that is definitely more feminine on a lot of ends. My masculine is huge. I don't need to bring any of that with me. Yeah. So it's really allowing myself to separate, which has been a hard balance, but I'm getting better at it.
But what does that look like? Right. Because I've also struggled with this as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you're a beautiful woman and like you look feminine. It's not like we're saying, oh, we're masculine and we like look like lumberjacks. It's like you would think like, oh, you're feminine, but the energy is different. So it's like,
An example is allowing them to open the door for me. And this is they're very little things. Allowing him to be in his masculine, allowing me to just kind of sit a little bit quieter and not be the, I don't want to say the know-it-all, but, you know, I feel like, okay, so allowing him to open the door, allowing him to be a gentleman, allowing myself to just step back. And I wish I could give more detail, but it's still a process.
Yeah, no, I totally love that. And I think what you're getting at, as well as what I think I've come down to as well, is it's really just the surrender in the energy, right? Because if you feel like you have to take charge all day, every day, you know, it's loud, it's proud. It's like, okay, guys, we are doing this. It's like a very type A energy. It's like taking control of everything. And when you're in your feminine, it's kind of like attract and allow. And in my case, I try to like be more sensual by just being softer. Like I don't need to control this moment or the situation, like just go with the flow and like put some energetic trust in this person I'm with that they've got it handled.
Yeah. That's a really great explanation. Just the energy shift is really starting just to be softer.
You know? It's hard out there.
It is. It really
for any guy listening, like the masculine women, not all of them want to be masculine, you know? So just try, see what their thoughts are. Because if you say to a woman, hey, you know, I see that you're an executive. I see that you do all this work. You know, do you, you know, it, you know, measure if they're open or not to this conversation, but it's like, do you really want to be in that masculine all the time? Mm-hmm. What are you looking for? Would you like to relax into your feminine? Would you like to just, you know, would you like a partner who is more masculine? Or, you know, some of us might be like, hell yeah. You know, you want to take this off?
A lot of us right now.
I'll chill right now. It's hard to see other people living your dreams. You know what I mean? Like, I would love, you know, honestly, I would just love to meet a Saudi on a yacht and just live the rest of my days like this. I don't want to work. I don't want to do a job, but I'm not at that level, you know?
Those just guys throw on a bathing suit and look cute.
Hire me as a coach instead. And I'm like, this really sucks to watch someone else living your dreams.
Oh my God. I love that. Yes. Well, I know a million other women that are super successful and they're having the same issues. So I think we're not, as women that are super successful, we're not allowing ourselves to be feminine.
Yeah.
And I think that's, so they're like, oh, I don't know how to be, right? We can't be too masculine energy. So yeah. So it's a learning game. Yeah.
Well, and I think with what you said, I think it's like an element of trust too, right? Because I think there was so much propaganda for so long that men are the enemy and they're going to hurt you and they don't, all they do is cheat and you can't trust anyone.
Yes.
And so it's made women so standoffish as well. Like a lot of women, I think, would prefer to be come up to in public and be like, you know, to have someone talk to them, but at the same time, they have such a standoffish energy where they're not inviting, right? And like, so we're giving off mixed messages for what we want, you know?
Yeah. Smile more, be more warm. I feel like that, you know, it's a good step in the direction. So, well, okay. So where can the audience here listening find you, find out more information about what you do?
They can find me on any social media platform, TikTok, okay. LinkedIn, Instagram, at Elise Michaels, ELISEMICHEALS _. There's some scam accounts out there. I never message anyone about readings or divine spiritual stuff. Oh. So don't donate to anything.
Don't click on it.
If you want to have a session with me, always book through my website, elisemichaels.com. And yeah, I'm happy to connect with everybody. I try to message people back when they message me. So
that's amazing. Well, I love the work that you're doing. I feel that you're such a beautiful source, a good energy. And I love that you're making this men's space much more, you know, much more available and much more relaxed. And I feel that, you know, you're making this big difference in the world. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that. You are as well.
Thank you. Well, it was such a wonderful time to have you.
Okay. Thanks again,
Elise. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.